Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah. 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 We come to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to They Overcame. We're here to give God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. And I am so excited and blessed today. We have two guests today that are going to give powerful testimonies. Just thank God for them yielding to the Spirit of the Lord and coming on to give God the praise and the glory. That's what we're here for. We're here because God is worthy, and we want the world to know that God is still doing great things for his people. And yes, I say the world, I don't use that word loosely. We are heard all over the world on this blog talk radio broadcast. To prove it, we've had a call from the UK, so we know that we are heard all over the world. And we just thank God for this platform to build ourselves up, but he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we just thank God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, good morning, honey. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Like you, I'm excited about today, and because this is the day the Lord has made. And I am rejoicing, and even more when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul is just crying out, hallelujah, from the depths of my soul. Thank God for saving me. Thank God for blessing me. Thank God for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And we just are just happy about being in God today.
Amen, amen. Well, honey, will you open us up with prayer?
Amen. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we come to you. Humble, hallelujah, and expectant. Worshipful and filled with praise. Looking to you, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are our all in all. You are our everything. There is nothing that we face that we know we will not be victorious in, because you stand in us, you stand for us. Hallelujah. You even charge your angels to be all around us and to go before us and bear us up, lest we would dash our feet against the stone. Father, you are just so concerned about us, and we just appreciate who you are and that you made us your sons and daughters, that you have made us your people. It didn't have to be. It could have been somebody else, because, Lord, there are thousands, millions who do not know you, but you chose us. And we just are so glad to be in your kingdom for such a time as this. We thank you for the day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord God, for protection. We thank you for peace. We thank you, Lord God, for comfort, even in the midst of the tumultuous world and the events that have happened earlier in the week in our nation. But we just thank you that you see us, you know us, that you have your wing over us, covering us, and that we, your people, if we would just call on your name, if we would just hide ourselves in you, that we would only with our eyes behold the calamities that come upon the wicked. But nothing shall come near us nor touch us,
yes,
because of who we are in,
yes,
you. Lord God, we just pray that this program today will be a comfort to all whose ear will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that we will come, that all will come to realize that you are the source, Lord God, that we need not fear, hallelujah, anything except to honor you and praise you and just live in the salvation and the peace and the joy that you have declared for us. In the name of Jesus, let your words, let the words that go out today be anointed and powerful, and let the ears that hear them be softened and the hearts be softened of those who hear the words of your testimony, of your saints, Lord God, knowing that all we have to do is trust and hope in you. In the name of Jesus, let there be healing in the words. Let there be deliverance in the words. Let there be liberty in the words. Some will realize that they can lay down their afflictions, that they can lay down their addictions, that they can lay down their hatred and their discomfort, that they can lay it all down at your feet. For you said, cast your burdens upon you, for you care for us. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God. We know that your will is being done, and we just pray that your anointing be the order of this day. We come against every demon. We come against every hindrance that would come against this program in the name of Jesus, and we just decree good success in all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey, for that powerful prayer. Before I have my guest on, I just want to let you know that we are under the umbrella of New Destiny Ministries. The host is Evangelist Adrian Bernard. And save the date, the first weekend in September, the week, not the holiday weekend, but the weekend after that, we are having a crusade. New Destiny Ministry is going to be coming around. The Lord has given her the charge to start off here in the Carolinas, and we are so excited about that. We will be hosting the crusade here. We don't have all the details worked out, but put it on your calendar the weekend. I think it's the 6th and the 7th. Of September, that we will be having a crusade here. Hallelujah, proclaiming the word of God and letting people know what they must do to be saved. So I'm so excited about that, and I just thank God. You can also listen to New Destiny Ministries every day, 4 o'clock our time, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central Time, to New Destiny Ministries. Evangelist Bernard has some awesome speakers that come on every day. She's on Monday through Friday at those times, and then on Sunday she has a 30-minute power prayer, and it comes on at 10 o'clock our time. I'm not sure of all of the times for that, but it's 10 o'clock Eastern time. So govern yourself accordingly. And so now we're not going to belabor it any longer. I'm so excited for this guest that we have coming on today. I spoke with a friend of mine that gave me her name, and I told me that she had a powerful, powerful testimony. And let me just add this right now. If you have a testimony, just call in and give us your testimony. It doesn't have to be anything big. Any praise for the Lord is welcome and desired by us. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for that. And without any further to do, we're going to open the lines up for Miss Shante. Are you there? Are you there, sister?
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome to They Overcame. Just so thankful to the Lord that you agreed to come on and give the Lord praise and honor and glory, which is due his name. And just give us your full name.
It's Shante Renee Evans Clifton.
Amen. And just tell us, before you start your testimony, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, about your family life, and just a little about yourself before we get started with your testimony.
Okay. I'm originally from Charleston, South Carolina. I'm married. I have three children. Well, one of mine and two of his. My family's from Charleston. In our house, we serve through Jesus Christ. It's a miracle that I'm still here. My life has changed dramatically since my happenings and everything. But to get back on track, that I'm happy. Before, if you would ask me this question, I would have been able to ramble on. But right now, I'm happy because of my circumstance and my situation. That's a good place for me to be. So that's my answer.
Amen. So you're married. What's your husband's name?
Kenny.
And
Kenny
your children.
Chris. My daughter.
And your children.
And yes, yeah. Courtney and Crystal and Elise are the children's names. And our dog girlfriend. Can't forget her.
Amen. I have children from another mother also. I just it seems
mm-hmm.
like everywhere I go we're from, well, my husband's from Kansas City, but I'm originally
mm-hmm.
from Chicago, and I have my four sons, but then I have some daughters in Illinois. And then we live in the suburbs of Atlanta, and I have some daughters from there, and then some sons. And I have here, now we're in North Carolina, and if you look at my Facebook page, you'll see my son, Jaren. I have children all over the place.
It's a blessing. That's a lot of kids. A lot of children. My daughter's godparents are like that. They my daughter must have like 50 god sisters and brothers, because not that they adopted, but they're like foster parents to a whole neighborhood. Everybody loves them. That's what it sounds like your situation, too, that children just migrate to you. Hello? Well, please don't tell me this ain't cut off. Hello, Ms. Burns? Ms. Burns? Hello?
I am on a cell phone, and it frequently blinks out, but I think the weather overcast is causing me to have a little problem this morning.
Yeah.
So if I blink out and you're still connected, you can just go on. So you can go on with your testimony. You were still on. I could see that you were still on. But The number to call in is 858-638-1334. Again, 858-683-1334. And we're going to let this awesome lady, woman of God, go on with her testimony and tell about the things that's making her so joyful in her life right now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you can go. You let loose.
Okay. I am a double lung transplantee. I got my lungs last year, October 2nd. But the miracle of it all was getting to that point, for me anyway. They do, Duke does a pre-eval to make sure that you are a good candidate to receive these lungs or any kind of transplant. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous about it. Now, mind you, I was asking my physician in Charleston, what about a transplant? And he kept on putting me off. And he said, after a transplant, I only have about 5 years to live. I mean, everything was just so discouraging. But my condition of how I felt and just didn't have no quality of life, I would have taken 5 years versus how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the physician left, and a new guy came in, and his first question was, have you thought about having a double lung transplant? And I was like, yes. Yes. And he was like, well, this is what we're going to do. So in September, and this to me is a miracle. I'm not a believer in big things happening as a miracle, but they can happen that way. My miracle happened like this. September 26th, which is also my birthday, was the first day of my pre-eval. When I came down here to do my eval, this lady, Miss Bridget, happened to be coming on one of her appointment dates. And for one, she looked just like my family. I thought it was my aunt who came to surprise me. My mother thought it was me walking, because at that time I couldn't walk. My mom thought that was me, and she came running over there, you know, thinking, oh, my baby's walking. But it was this lady named Miss Bridget. And she was my age when she first got her double lung transplant. And it was 6 years later on September 26th, and she was my age at the time, and she survived 6 years. So that told me God's got me. You know, here he is giving me a sign on your birthday, Shante. Your birthday. Not anybody else's, but your birthday. I present this to you. Do you think I'm going to bring you all this way to let you go now? You know, and at that time, I'm not gonna lie, I believed in Jesus. I believed in the Holy Spirit. I believed in Father. You know, I believed all that, but it wasn't in the heart. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't as deep as it is now. I didn't have a relationship with God or Jesus. I didn't have a relationship. Well, we went to the hospital to get the eval, and I got this overwhelming feeling of just warmth. It wasn't peaceful. It was stirring me. It was just, I mean, it was like somebody stirring a pot. Everything was moving, but it was so warm. And I couldn't do nothing but cry. You know, it was like, so this is it, Lord. So this is what I've been missing. You know, all I had to do was look, and there it was. All I had to do was turn the corner, and there he was. All I had to do was open my eyes, and I was in the light, you know. And that night, God spoke to me. And I know when I hear people say, God told me this, God told me that, before I had a relationship with Christ, I would be like, yeah, right, uh-huh, the Lord talking to you. But it happens, and it happened to me, and that's why I can testify to it, because it happened to me. I was laying down, and I heard God say, Shante. And I looked up, and I thought, Mom, Shante, I got you. And I just started crying. And it came to me that of all the names he could have called, of all the people he could have tapped on the shoulder, he called me. He said my name, Shante. Yeah, there's thousands of other Shantes out there. But he called me. When he whispered Shante, it wasn't for Shante down the street. It wasn't Shante in North Dakota. It wasn't Shante from Alabama. It was Shante from Charleston, South Carolina. He called my name. And when I realized that, my relationship with God got closer, not only in my heart, but in my head, because now I knew he's got me. I don't have to walk here. I was scared. For what? You know, why am I didn't know how to react to the goodness, because I didn't know what to expect. Once I realized that he called my name, he told me that he got me, he told me not to worry about it. It was like an overwhelming feeling of relief. It was like, I don't have to worry about it, because now I'm taking my problem to a man that doesn't have any problems.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have any problems, then I don't. And I give him my problem, there's no more problems. Not for me, anyway. You know, now I know what they mean by give it up to the Lord, and he'll take care of it all. It's so true. That, to me, is my miracle. You know, just to realize, to have the revelation that, yes, God is real. And, you know, it's not something small. This man has notches in his belt that we don't even know about. You know, and I don't serve a lazy God. My God has a job. You know, and it's to take care of me. I mean, and that's wonderful. You know, and for him to do it for me and do it for you, and how many of us cannot multitask? So for my God to take care of me and everybody else and still know my name, that's a miracle for me. You know, that lets me know that I'm not just some dust in the wind. I have a purpose. I have a purpose. So when I got my, and discouragement, the devil will try to get his foot in there somehow all the time, especially when you're doing good and you're feeling good about yourself. The first thing he attacks is your mind, for me.
Uh-huh.
So when he was attacking, he was like, these people, they don't care about you. You know, it was things like that was coming to me. Look, if they're taking care of him, they're not taking care of you. He's got his lungs. He came here after you, and he's getting his lungs. Now, I fell into that role of being like the snotty one. I did come before him. When the Lord sits you down, you sat. There's no, especially if, I can't explain it, but when God told me, sit down, let me say something, because I was running. I was like, from here to there, just running. And he said, I am waiting to give you your lungs, not Harvey's lungs, or not Sarah's lungs. The lungs that I'm going to bring to you are your lungs. Sat me down. That's my miracle, you know. And I'm just so grateful that I listen, because some people don't listen. You know, I'm so grateful that I listen, and I got a praying mother, praying father, praying family, praying friends. I mean, it was everybody was praying for me. And once, and prayer works like it's better than food. It's wonderful because it fills everything. It fulfills everything. And I had all these people praying for me, people I didn't even know, my father's fraternity, schoolmates. I mean, so many people was praying for me until I just humbled. I just couldn't do anything else but humble. Excuse me, I'm about to cry. Because it's so wonderful. I mean, there's no other word. Maybe awesome, but God has been so good to me since I realized my condition, which I had called sarcoidosis, and I had it in my lungs. Their main concern was once they take out my lungs, that they didn't spill any of the sarcoid that could cause contamination to the other parts of my lungs. Well, usually it takes about 6 to 8 hours to do this operation, and they did mine in 4. So God has been with me. When he said he got me, he had me.
Yeah.
He gave me, my lungs were almost custom fit, they said. You know, almost a custom fit mold for my body. Because I'm small, petite. My body configuration is normal, but it's shorter torso. I mean, it was so many variables that they had to put in there that getting the lungs, well, having lungs available wasn't the problem. The problem was having the right type of lungs, because you got to match antibodies and blood, and, you know, and mine was so rare. And so, you know, they thought it was going to take longer than it did, which it did. It took almost a year for them to find the right lungs. But I got to thank God, because I have had no rejection. Well, I have one rejection, which is normal, because this is a foreign object in my body. And two, I have one infection. But other than that, I'm healthy. Everything is on time. So my miracles come for me through small surprises, I guess I can say. Through small surprises, that's how I get my miracles. Anyway, that's how I count my miracles. And my blessings, I can't count my blessings enough. I mean, my friends, my family, friends of my family, those are my blessings. People who I didn't even know, schoolmates that I was enemies with are now my friends. I mean, God has just brought me to a 360 of attitude, and me and my husband, even though, you know, we're just a married couple, but my husband has been with me since. Matter of fact, we got married 2 days prior to me finding out that I had sarcoid, prior to me going into the hospital. 2 days we were married, and we're going on our 8th year right now. So that's a miracle for me, because I don't know what, you know, if I married a different man, would he still be here with me? I mean, because this is not an easy road, you know. And he has to do practically everything, as far as cooking and cleaning and moving, and if I mean, anything and everything that I need done, he's my caregiver, you know, and, you know, he wants to get back to work, and I want him to go back to work, but he's like, no, I'm not going back to work until you're settled. How many men would do that? You know, here I am scared, thinking, oh, my God, he's going to, you know, he's got to do everything, and he's got to be house husband, and blah, blah. My worries shouldn't even be a worry because God's got me. You know, and that's what I live by now, you know, the word of God. And there's this minister that sends me a passage every morning. I get one. I look forward to it. And one he sent me was from Psalm 3:3, and it says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." Which is the truth, because when I'm down, I'd be like, Lord, I need to talk to you. I need to walk with you, you know. And I find myself, if I don't have that connection, I'm lost. I'm really lost. I find myself just wandering, you know, like a lost sheep, you know. And I'm like, God, you know, Jesus, you know, where am I? And I'll hear in the background, "I got you. I got
Amen.
You." You know, so it's wonderful. And the glory of God and praising his name, because that's all he wants. He just wants us to cry his name up. He don't want the rocks to beat you to it. You know, he wants to sit down and talk to you. He wants to make a date with you. You know, he wants to be your main seed, you know, and I just love it, you know. So when I got my transplant, I thought that everything was going to be fine, that I'm going to be able to jump up and sing again and just, you know, I told everybody, find a song, and I'm going to sing it to you after I get my lungs. You know, I thought it was going to happen that fast, but it didn't. There's a process that you have to go through. Sometimes they have to teach you how to walk again, how to talk again, how to you know, feed yourself, how to go to the bathroom. You, because of the intensity of the surgery, you have to learn all these things all over again. So when that happens, here comes the devil, you know. Yeah, they lied to you. They didn't tell you everything that was going on. They didn't tell you that this was going to happen. Look at that nurse. I mean, it was like the devil was trying to get his foothold in, but I had already learned. I learned his ways. And that small amount of time, God taught me, call on him, and he's got me. You know, so all I did was like, if the devil ain't going to work, it's not going to work. You know, God's got me. And sure enough, my recovery, after I said it, you know, and there were people in the room, and I said, "Nah, devil." And they looked at me like I was crazy. But after I said it, and I said it out loud from my lips to the devil's ear, "You don't have no power over me. None. You know, God got me." My life once again changed. You know, now the nurses are more attentive, you know, the doctor, I'm seeing him more, you know, everything that God had put in place was working, everything, and what God didn't provide, I did not have to deal with, so I got out the hospital, well, I went to the step-down unit, so you go from ICU to a unit where you're doing better, and they work you back into society in a sense, so you can get over your culture shock or your surgery shock, and then, you know, you get to go home. So God had all that planned already out for me. The devil tried to trick me, and me being vulnerable, you know, only thing I knew was lean on the Lord. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know, and I, you know, I still don't know verses and books and, you know, of the Bible, you know, but God said that, don't, you know, to have a relationship with me. You know, I'll tell you, I'll show you, I'll teach you. You know, so when I get stuck on something, you know, I have Mr. Reverend Maurice, who sends me a text every day, you know, and when he just told me about you, Ms. Burns, I didn't know it was a religious talk blog. I didn't. But I said yes, you know, and I'm just like in shock that when I think that, I used to do this to my daughter and my ex-husband. I told him, now it's time for you to develop a relationship with your daughter. I fought for 12 years to keep y'all together as a unit. I said, but now it's your turn to fight to keep you and your daughter as a unit. You know, so it's, you know, it's not going to be easy because I'm not going to participate in it. You know, because it's time for her to know her dad. And that's how I feel about Christ. My mom, my dad fought for me to have a relationship with Jesus, to, you know, for the Father, to the Father. Now it's my turn to fight for it.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
You know, so now it's not up in the air. It's up to me to make sure that I call on him, that the rocks don't cry out, that I stay steadfast and righteous, you know, and that if I want to be like Christ, I got to walk and talk like Christ. You know, I got to do the right thing versus doing anything or nothing. You know, I just have to walk closely with God. And I love it. I love this. It's a good feeling. You know,
yes.
It's not something that what's a good word? It is something to be in awe of. But once you're in it, you don't want to come out. You don't want anything else to make you apprehensive. You're not going to be apprehensive about being where you're at with Christ. You know, you don't mind shouting his name out in the middle of the street because it's a good feeling. It's such a good feeling. Like I said, it's better than food sometimes. I mean, it's just a miracle that me, you know, sometimes I think back, I'm like, me? You know, what makes me so different? He makes me so different. That's the key. It's him. It's all about Christ. It's not about me. It's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's all he wants. And you said it in, I was listening to the radio this morning, the blog this morning. You said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And that is so true. That is so true, because when I talk about Christ and I lift his name up high for all to see, I see, and the wonderment of it all is that I can also see who he's talking to, who he's reaching. So it gives me another family to talk to. You know, it's like opportunity. I mean, I didn't know you from a can of beans, but now I know Mrs. Burns, and I know this blog radio, and I set it in my bookmarks. You know, it's another avenue to Christ. It's another avenue to Jesus. He said he was the truth and the light, so why wouldn't I follow that? My grandma used to say, you don't know that you're in the light until you're in the light. You know, when you turn that corner and you see the light, you're now in the light. So don't get all upset if you turn the corner and you don't see the light, because now you're on your way. So with God, you cannot make a mistake. If you are following Him, you can't make a mistake. Because his the road to Christ for me is golden. So every step that I take, I'm getting richer and richer with the Lord. So, I don't know, am I rambling?
No, you're doing good. I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking about a song that I remember we used to sing when I was a young child. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Oh, the joy we
yes.
have as we tarry there. None other shall ever know. I think that's how the rest of it goes, but it's just a blessing and a joy when we mm-hmm. come into the light. You know, when we mm-hmm. come into the light, you don't know that you're in the darkness, like you said, until
right.
you come into the light. And God uses, doesn't put things on us, but He uses the experiences that we have in our lives to draw us. And like you said, a lot of people, they still don't come to God. They don't get it. But to hear
mm-hmm.
God say your name and to tell you, I got you. He says it in His word.
Mm-hmm.
He says it in His word. But to hear Him in your being that I
right.
have you. Oh
yeah.
my God. Oh
it
my
was
God.
Such a wonderful feeling. It was so subtle, and it was just so sweet. It was like liquid gold. It was just honey. It was like a mother rocking the baby. It was just so comforting. It was just so. It just enveloped me, you know. And oh, that's such a good feeling. How many times mm-hmm. I don't care. How old I am. The first name I usually call out if I'm crying is my mama. Just plain
yes.
and simple, my mom and dad. Because they're my parents. I mean, I'm 48 years old, and I still call out to my parents. You know, I'll still call my mom and dad crying. You know, because that's who God sent me to. He sent me to my parents, or brought my parents to me. However you want to look at it. So when times are hard and troublesome, I go to my parents and I tell my daughter the same thing. I tell my daughters the same thing. If you need me, I don't care how old, call me because I'm your parent. And through Jesus Christ, we'll find a way to
yeah.
get you out of the problem or situation. So when he calls my name, it was like, I don't know. It was just milk and honey. It was just so sweet.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. He's sweet, I know. Blasting all over my mind, but a double lung transplant, and the lung was made just for
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Mm-hmm. Told me not to worry about a thing. Don't worry about anything. I got you, Shante.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean.
Psalm.
I know. So.
Psalm. Go ahead.
I was saying Psalm 91.
Oh, we having a delay. And so when you start talking,
yeah.
it's a delay.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Go on.
No, I was just saying, you know, that He's the beginning. I mean, the truth and the life, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and I see that now. You know, it, before I just heard it,
mm-hmm.
but now I see it and I live it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because I got someone donated their lungs someone donates their lungs every day, their liver, their kidney. There's a donation of a body part every day. But that doesn't, I mean, you could be 98 on the list and still not get the lung because it's not, you don't match.
So right.
The person who's on like number 14, they're the ones that are supposed to not really need it that quickly. The higher the number, the more urgent you are. So when you have a low number, you're not that urgent, but you might get the lung because you match. No one else matched. So you're eligible for that lung, and believe me, they give it to you. They don't say, nah, we'll just hold up. No, you get it. So when Christ said, don't worry about it, I didn't worry about it no more. But I am of this earth. So I know that, you know, I'm still going to be sticking my head in there. And each time I did, I asked for forgiveness. Lord, I do trust you. You know, this. Yeah. I have faith in his decision. But I'm of this earth. You know, I'm going to have to keep on looking back in the book. You know, I can't cheat this. You know, I'm just waiting on you. You know, and when he came like, you know, my knight in shining armor. So when I talk about when me and my mom and my sister get together and we start talking about all the goodness that God has done for us, oh, I mean, we just have a good time remembering our problem because now we know that now they're solved. You know, all we have to do is speak his name and he solved them, our problems. So now it's fun. It's fun to talk about our problems because we know it's going to be okay. We know it's going to be okay.
Yes, we used to say in testimony service, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Hallelujah. as you're talking, and I love church and I love the Lord, but there's nothing like the church that we call church that we used to have. Mm-hmm. And as you're talking, there are so many songs that just come up in my mind that we used mm-hmm. to be able to, in the body, in the church mm-hmm. edifice, we used to be able to sing the praises of God to one another. And, mm-hmm. and then we would go out from that place and, you know, we'd be so full that it would just spill over. I was saying mm-hmm. on one of the broadcasts that when I came into salvation, I was so full. I was just so full when I would go to work and people would say good morning to me. We greeted each other with praise the Lord. And when I would go to work right. and I'd get on the elevator and people would be saying, good morning, good morning. And I'd say, praise the Lord. And they'd look at me.
I know.
But you just get so full and just, you know, mm-hmm. it's nothing like. It's nothing like knowing, because God loved the world. The Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's nothing like knowing that love personally, knowing mm-hmm. that love of God and feeling mm-hmm. and knowing what that feeling is, knowing what
Amen.
That feeling is.
Yes, and you know,
that feeling
God. Is. Knowing that feeling, you are so right. Know that feeling.
Yeah.
You don't want to let it go. You don't. You don't want to lose that. Because like I said, when there's a disconnection, I'm lost. I need that connection with Christ. I need that connection. Because I know through him all things are possible. You know, not through man. You know, not through anything else, but through him. I know everything is possible. So I need that connection, because without it, the devil's going to try to get me. And he can't have no parts of this. You know, I serve the Lord, not the
yes.
faith. So, but you're right.
I belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I
know that feeling.
Yes, yes, yes. We have been, my family, we heard over a ministry that things were going to be happening, and it was so tragic what happened in Boston this Monday with the bombing and I was watching yesterday as they captured the young man, and I just started praying for him. I guess that listening to Evangelist Bernard's broadcast, and her broadcast is every day, and she had a woman of God on this week, and she was talking about intercession. And, you know, once God has done something for us, then it's for us to turn around and pray that he can do the same thing, you know, for somebody else. But anyway, I was looking at that young face, and I just started, Lord, help him. Lord, help him. Help him. Help him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have that compassion in us when God has done something for us, you know, or our children. When God
right.
has done something for us or our children, then it gives us the compassion to reach out for others, to know that love of God, because, like you were saying, it's so sweet. It's so sweet, and that reminds me of another song that we used to sing, He's Sweet, I Know. And Adrian is on the line, and I know that these songs are, you know, running through her mind also, but strong winds may. How does that go, honey? He's sweet, I know. He's on hold. Wait a minute. He's sweet,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I remember that song too. You're bringing back some memories for me too.
Yes, he's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I found a Savior, and He's sweet, I know.
Yes.
Yay. Music is a ministry in itself also, and I used to sing on the choir, and, oh, I had such a great time. But it's like I said, it's been a while since I've been to church. It's been a while since I've been stable enough to even go anywhere. I was tethered to an oxygen tank and tethered to a home concentrated tank. So I could go but so far. Now I have, you know, now I can breathe room air. You know, God has brought me from such a long, long way. You know, it's like this year past was the first year in 10 years that I haven't been able to breathe on my own.
So
God has been good to me. He has been very good to me. So, given me two lungs, two perfectly healthy lungs, and I thank God for the donor. It has allowed me to breathe. I can walk. Blessings on top of blessings. I mean, it's just, like I said, these are my miracles. These are my types of miracles. You know, I can't walk on water yet. You know, I can't fly yet, you know, because I believe in Christ. I believe the faith that I have, that if he wanted me to fly, I'd fly. He wants me to walk on water, I'll walk on water. You know, the miracles, the things that he presents to me, for me to do, and I do it, that's my miracle. That's how I look at miracles. You know, because without him, I would have never even, I wouldn't even tried to do any of the things that I'm doing. and get this clarity of thought. When I'm speaking to Christ or from in prayer, there's this clarity of mind that I can't not say what I mean. You know how you get confused and trying to put something across, but when I'm talking to Christ and I'm explaining what's going on in my life and what I need, it's so clear and it's so straight and it's so forward that I don't have to talk 15, 20 minutes just trying to get it out, because the time that I get out my story of what I need or what I want, now I can praise him and just be with Christ and speak his name and rejoice and, you know, have all the hallelujahs, and it feels so good. I just like praising his name, you know, because I know something good is going to happen. And that's the cherry on top of the cake. You don't know what it's going to be, but you know it's going to be something sweet.
Yes, God has more for you too, my sister. He has more for you. You said that you were a singer. You were a singer.
Yeah, I used to sing. But unfortunately, you know, the stop cord was in my lungs. But it didn't stop me until after surgery, because they had to teach me how to talk and everything again. Because I have a trach in my throat, you know, where, you know, now it's healing. So I got to wait for it to heal to see if I can sing again, which I will. I don't care how it sounds. I'll sing again. That's how I see it now. There's no more problems. I mean, because I'm taking it to the man who has no problem. So I might have to make some adjustments in my life. But and for the kingdom, to be part of the kingdom, I can make those changes. Because it's sweet. It's going to be sweet.
Yes, the solver of problems, the one that holds us in his hands and who lets us know that our times are in his hands, and he lets us know that he has plans for us. He has plans for us. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end. Hallelujah. We trust God and we believe him, and we just are so thankful that you came on to give us your testimony, a double lung transplant. And you're encouraging me. I was a donor at one time, but I took my name off of the donors list, you know, on my driver's license, because I said that people that give the families that, or well, the person that donates the lung, their families, that's how I was looking at it. They didn't profit anything. You know, they didn't profit anything out of it. They didn't profit anything out of it. But just talking to you, and the doctors prosper, and the hospital, you know, and they make all of this money, and that's how the wrong thinking that I was thinking. But just listening to you, would you like to make a plea for people that have not signed that on their driver's license, committed to be donors? Would you like to make a plea to that cause?
Oh, yes. Some of us cannot be donors because of situations and circumstances within our body, diabetes or cancer or whatever. But if you can become a donor and you know that you can become a donor, please give. This, it's a gift of life, a second chance for some people, a small road to recovery, an antidepressant for some people. Donating an organ or hair, skin, lung, liver, kidney is a gift that one who, the person who receives it, cannot thank you enough. Their lives, I know mine, has changed dramatically. So I am asking from the bottom of my heart to please become a donor. I don't care if it's your eyes, your lips, your nose, your ears, fingers, knees and toes. Whatever, go to your physician, your doctor, and ask him or her what can be donated as far as a working organ. And have them test you out and see if you are a donor eligible. And please donate. Please. I know for me, it's life. It's life. And if you're a believer in just life, please give. Please donate.
Amen. 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 Well, Shante, I just thank God that you graciously considered to come on to give God praise that is so due mm-hmm. his name. Because he is worthy, he is worthy, he is worthy of all the praise and the honor and the glory that we can give to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask my husband to pray for you before I go to my next guest. And how do you pray for Shante?
Amen. We just thank God for the testimony that has gone forth. And we just praise God for our sister Shante. And I just right now, Lord God, I just look to you and I thank you for her and her boldness. We know that on this day, the rocks do not have to cry out because she is crying out your praise to the people of the world of your goodness, your faithfulness, hallelujah, your attentiveness Amen. To each and every one of us. She's just a testimony of who you are, the kind of God and the Heavenly Father that you are. And Father, we just pray continue blessings on her and her house. Lord God, continue to strengthen her. Continue to just heal her miraculously, even to the point that the doctors will even be baffled of the outcome of what they think that they've done, but then they'll have to bow knowing that you took it even further. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for Shante's husband. I just pray blessings upon him because of his sacrifice for his wife. He has done what you said in your word, that husbands ought to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And, Father, we just pray your blessing upon him because we know that as he is blessed, his house is blessed. In the name of Jesus, just let there be an anointing, let there be plenty, let there be abundance, even in the midst of him not returning to work, Lord God. And then just bless bountifully, Lord God. Let there just be the right thing come for him. And Lord God, even her as she desires to sing again, because we know that there's now even a new song, that the song will go forth with even more power and anointing and meaning. We just thank you, Lord God. And count it as done, that the blessings and the word will go forth of just who you are through their testimony, Lord God. And we just reiterate one more time, Lord God, to just be blessing upon our husband, Lord God, for the sacrifice that he's making, giving an example of who you are, following your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen.
Thank you, my sister, for coming on,
and we're gonna put your name out there for our listeners to be praying in agreement that Shante will be soon singing the praises of God, and when you start singing, Shante, I want you to call in. Because we're going to be here every Saturday. Every Saturday, that's what we're here for. I want you to call in and sing a song for us, okay?
I sure will.
Well,
thank you, Ms. Burns.
Well, God, thank you, and God bless you. God bless you. Okay, and tell your husband we said we send our blessings his way,
also.
Your mom and your sister, your children, we'll be praying for all of you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to join Shante in rejoicing and being glad in it. Our God is such an awesome, miraculous, loving God. I cannot express the words for God and the things that he does for us, and we just don't know. Listeners, call in and give us your praise and your worship. God is worthy. He is worthy, and he is due the praise, the honor, and the glory. God has opened up this way for us. Like I said, we used to have testimony service in our churches, and I know back home we used to have a service that was just dedicated to praising God and giving God glory and giving God testimony, and we would have a good time, and it's encouraging. And the scripture says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Our testimony is going to cause someone else to overcome. Our testimony is going to cause someone else to be encouraged to know that if they did it for her or him, if God did it for her or him, he can do the same thing for me. Now, we know in his word it says that, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But just to hear the testimony of what God is doing in the earth now, we have a lot of people that are not believing that God is still healing. God didn't miraculously, but he did miraculously give Shante lungs. He didn't build new lungs in her, but he caused lungs to be there for her that she said there are so many dynamics that have to be in agreement to be able to even get a lung or to be able to get a transplant. And God provided that just for her, special made just for her. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we walk in. Yes, hallelujah. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have Ms. Shantae back on again because I know that there are going to be many testimonies. She talked about her mind. She talked about how the devil tried and hit. And Joyce Myers wrote a book, and it, the name of the book is The Battlefield is the Mind. It's in the mind. That's where the enemy starts. But the Bible tells us to resist him. Ha! Yay, Lord. Hallelujah. And he will flee from us. That's what Jesus did when he carried him out in the wilderness. He resisted him. And at the end, he had to flee. There was nothing else for him to do. And that same power that's in Jesus, thank you, Jesus, is in us today. Ha! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I could just go on and on and on and on, but I have another guest, hallelujah, bless your name, Lord, that is coming on, and she has an awesome, this is a woman of God, Miss Tina Whitfield from Clayton, North Carolina, and I'm so glad that our Carolina people are calling in and giving testimonies. And is this you, Miss Tina?
Yes, it is.
Is this you?
Yes,
amen. Yes, yes, I can hear you. I can hear you fine. And we were not introduced, but Miss Tina Whitfield, Sister Tina Whitfield, are you an evangelist?
No, I'm not.
Okay, okay. Well, we're all evangelists because we all go around and tell about the goodness of God, and that's what an evangelist does. It's just a title, hallelujah, but it's something that the Lord has called us to do. And we were, I learned about Miss Tina Whitfield, Sister Tina Whitfield, through a pastor friend of mine who has been a guest on the program, Pastor Ojeda Miley, who is an awesome woman of God, just an awesome woman of God. And she told us that you had a testimony that you would be willing, that you would love to give, because we just love to herald what our Jesus is doing for us. We love to herald it. So before you give us your testimony, tell us a little bit about yourself, Miss Tina Whitfield from Clayton, North Carolina.
Well, I am the owner of Inner Peace Publishing, and I have written a book called Restoration of a Broken Vessel. And that book, it has a lot of short stories about different types of pain. People go through different types of problems, and the book was written with really God's people in mind. That particular book, when I started writing it, I didn't realize what was happening at the time, because God was bringing a lot of people to me. When I say bringing them to me, I would meet people in the grocery store who would just walk up to me and tell me their problems. And I'm like, God, what is this? I'm just, you know, minding my own business. Or if I was getting my car fixed, someone would just turn and start telling me of issues they would have in church or problems that they had gone through, or sickness in their bodies and just different things. It's not just relationship issues. It's just different healings and things of that nature. And I was like, what is it that you want me to do with this? And so I created the book, Restoration of a Broken Vessel. And in the beginning of the book, it says, do you know me? And it'll say, my name is Mike. And it'll say the problems Mike had, or if someone had problems, you know, the sickness or illness they needed to overcome, because God is a healer. And people oftentimes forget that he's still there. He's a healer, and he wants you to depend on him. Not that he's given us modern medicine, but he's also our medicine. With God and your medicine together. And so that's where Restoration of a Broken Vessel came about. And I am currently in school working on my doctorate. I'm almost completed. Thank you, Jesus. I am in the writing stages of my dissertation. Chapters 4 and 5 need to be done, and I will be officially Dr. Whitfield soon. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about my publishing company. I am beginning to start in the beginning stages of helping people who want to publish inspirational, motivational material. I have to always say that. I want to help them get that published.
And I have
a wonderful son who actually he's the topic of my testimony today. His name is Miles, and Miles is 11 years old, and he's this terrific kid. I mean, being a mother is like one of the best gifts that I've ever had to do. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. So that's a little bit about me.
Amen. So you are an evangelist because you've written a book and it's going around, and that's what an evangelist, that's the work of an evangelist.
So true. So
that's awesome. That is awesome. And what is the name of your publishing company?
It's called Inner Peace Publishing. If they wanted to check out my webpage, it's www.innerpeacebooks.net.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also get a copy of Restoration of a Broken Vessel from that website as well.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, God is just so awesome. We have had a young lady that is a friend of my family. Has written a book too. Her book is actually in the novel, but it was from her life and the struggles that she's had in her marriage, and she and her husband are still happily married. Thank God. But I know that her book also will bring about healing, like your book. You said stories of different people that are calling, that would just walk up to you. And that's just the drawing power of God.
And it was also, it's not only just a draw, it helped me because I was so shy. When people would come up to me and I'm just, and I had been praying for boldness. And so he gave me just that. He gave me that.
Okay.
Because I was praying for it, and when people would come up to me, I said, can we just pray? And it helped me, and it also helped my son because he started laying hands. He started laying hands on people, and he's just like, in Jesus' name. And I said, did you receive your healing? And with him, it's always, did you receive your healing, Miles? He said, receive my healing. He's like, receive my healing. And when things go wrong, he's like, you healed in Jesus' name. So he knows his testimony.
That is so awesome. Our children do emulate us. And that's, yes, they do. And so when you see your child emulating you in the things of God, that is just so awesome. That
is
so awesome. I love to see our babies, praying. I have four sons, and when they would say, I hurt myself, or my head is hurting, or anything, and I'd say, go, come on, guys, let's go pray for, or I would tell them, go pray for your brother. Go pray for your brother, and they pray, and oh my God, I would just almost be in tears watching them, praying.
Yes,
so
yes.
I know that feeling, of watching your kids do things of God, because there's so many out here that are emulating their parents, but that is not good.
That's so true. One of the things I learned very early to do with my son, I would walk around and ask him, I said, who are you? And, of course, he would tell me his name. I said, well, that's just your name. I said, who are you as a person? And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Tell me who you are." And so I have trained him. Now, if you ask him, "Who are you?" He'll tell you, "I am a highly favored man of God, and I'm walking in it." And so when people, they'll ask him, "Who are you?" And he'll tell them, "This is who I am." And I always wanted to set the stage that there's nothing that you can't do. I said, God said that we can do all things through Christ. And that's one of his favorite scriptures, as a matter of fact. And so he knows there's nothing that's limited to him. He knows that he can have whatever it is that God said he can have. And so I want him to walk in the favor of God. I want him to walk in it and know there's no limitations in this lifetime.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you're proving that you'll soon be Dr. Tina Whitfield. That is awesome. And that's just God. That's just how our God does us. He takes us. He doesn't take everybody on the same path. But he takes us on the path that he has, for us. And what are you getting your doctorate in?
I'm actually getting it in health administration. I currently work as a social worker, so I definitely want to move to a part that's more in control of what's going on in my environment. So in leadership.
Amen, amen, amen. God has called us to be leaders, leaders in this world. Amen. That's awesome. Well, we're going to be praying on that wise for you. I know you're almost finished with it, but the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And, you know, we're going to be holding you up in prayer that God lets you finish this course and then put you on the next course that he has for you. Amen. So, well, give us your testimony, Miss Tina. What's your son's name?
Miles.
Miles. Oh, I have my dear girlfriend. She has a son, and her kids are all M. Her boys are all M. And Miles, Mason, and oh my goodness, Miles is the oldest one. Mason is the youngest one, and then there's one in the middle. She would just kill me. Well, she wouldn't literally kill me, but she would get me. It would kill me, but that's
Morgan.
Thank you, baby. Morgan, yes, Morgan. Amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you for that help. That's my husband. So, Miss Tina, give us your. I'm sorry, I keep calling you Miss Tina, and you're a child of the King. So let me call and my sister. So let me correct that and call you Sister Tina. Give us your testimony for the Lord today.
When I gave birth to my son, the doctors, there was an issue with Miles' blood, and they were saying that I had to take him to a specialist. And so after testing of Miles, the doctor was stating that Miles had this thyroid condition and that he needed to take medicine for the rest of his life and that Miles would not develop normally. He may be delayed and he wouldn't grow like a normal human being, if there's a such thing. But they had labeled him, and so and it hurt me, and it hurt me to my core, because I'm thinking, this is this little baby. And I began to blame myself. I was like, what did I do, Dad? I shouldn't have eaten that candy, and I shouldn't have done this. The doctor said not to do that, and I did this. And then after I got over myself, and I said, well, I know what they've said. And so what I did, I took it to God. And I said, I know what they said, Lord, and I also know who you are. And because I know who you are, I'm just going to stand on your word. But I will be obedient in this realm, but I'm also believing in the spirit realm for it to manifest in this realm. So I took him to the doctors, and it was a series of about 18 months. I mean, we were at the doctor's office constantly, because when they think something's wrong with your child, it's just extremely costly, and you have to constantly be back and forth. So I was back and forth to Chapel Hill, his regular doctor, and because he was an infant, he went to the doctor more so than any other kid. And so my son began to have this fear when he went to the doctor's office, because if he saw a white jacket, he would immediately start crying because he knew his blood had to be taken and things were going on. But I continued to place Miles on the altar. And so they gave him this medication, and because he was so little, I had to press the medicine in, mash the medicine, put it in a little vial, shake it up, and he had to suck it like, you know, it was a bottle. But each time I gave him his medicine, I said, "You're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed in Jesus' name." A day didn't go by that I didn't say, "You're healed in Jesus' name," because I understand that we have modern medicine, and God placed doctors here to help us. And I said, even though I know I have to do this, I'm still going to trust and believe that my son will not have to take this medicine for the rest of his life, that he will develop as a normal child. He will not be delayed. He will grow. And at the time, my aunt, she passed away 2 years ago, but she was praying for Miles, and she's a minister, and mostly my family, all of my ministers, and so everybody's praying, and, you know, of course I have him on the altar constantly, just constantly believing God for him. Anything that came up, I just, you know, I gave to God and I left it. And so after about 13, 14 months, his father took him to the doctor, and his father came back, took him to his regular medical doctor, and the doctor said, "It doesn't look like Miles needs that medicine anymore." Because each time I took Miles to the doctor, every single time, he was over the 50 percentile of where he needed to be. And so, but for someone who they said was delayed, this shouldn't be happening. And so what I started doing, I started teaching Miles very, very early, before he could even talk, to even sing his ABCs. Miles could hum his ABCs at about 8 to 9 months, and he started talking. And so when I would take him to Chapel Hill, his physician would get so angry with me. She was like, "Well, is he able to do anything?" Well, Miles was learning. What I'm telling you is that God was making it so Miles was doing everything but before other kids were doing it. I didn't know this because I didn't have any other children to compare him to. And so I'm thinking, this is what he's supposed to be doing, or maybe he's not doing what they're doing. I didn't have anyone to compare him to. And so we would go to the doctor, and he would be on the floor crawling, and so the doctor's like, "Well, what is he doing? Is he developed like other children?" And I said, "I don't know, but this particular day Miles was on the floor." And I said, "Miles, close that door." And he crawled to the door and shut the door. She said, "Well, you taught him that." I said, "You said he couldn't learn." So then I said, "Miles, let's sing your ABCs." And so I would be singing ABCs, and he would be doing, he was doing this. And so she's like, "But you taught him that." I said, "You said he couldn't learn." And so as time went on, and when his medical doctor said, "You know, it doesn't look like he needs that medication," I just stopped giving it to him, because I knew in 2 weeks I had to go back to Chapel Hill. Well, in 2 weeks, and it may have been wrong, but I was just trusting and believing. And so I went to the doctor, and she got so upset with me again. She said, "You shouldn't have taken him off that medicine. We didn't tell you to do that." And I said, "Well, today you need to test his blood." She tested his blood, and his blood came back negative. She was so angry. She said, "We're going to test it again." I said, "You can test it as much as you like. You're not going to find anything in his blood."
Yeah.
And so, but when she went to test his blood, I said, "God," I said, "I'm leaning and totally dependent on you." When that test came back negative, she was angry. She tested it 3 more times because she did not want to believe that Miles was healed. And Miles was healed, and if my son walks into the door at this, the same person they said wouldn't learn has a 4.0 GPA. He stands 5'2", wearing a size 9 shoe, and he's 11 years old. And when he walks into the room, everybody's always amazed. They're like, my God, why is he so tall? I said, he has to be, because someone said he wouldn't grow. This is the manifestation of God. Every time when I'm looking at him and he's running, I said, baby, please don't knock the drywall off the house, because he's in the house playing basketball. He's killing the walls. And I'm like, I bought you a basketball. Go, can you take that outside? But I'm looking, but he's jumping up, touching the ceiling, and I'm just watching, because I don't get angry, because this is still the same kid that they said wouldn't grow. This is the same kid they said wouldn't learn. This is the same person. All those labels were placed on, and God proved himself over and over that he's still the Alpha and the Omega. He's still the healer. He's still that man that's standing there healing, and as all he wants from us is to trust and believe in him. And so there is no one or nothing that can ever take the place of my God, because I know who he is. I know what he can do. I know that he's still the healer. That's my testimony. God is who he said he is. Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, I love what
and like Shante, and that the caller before you, the guest before you, she was saying that, I don't know if you heard her testimony, she's a double lung transplant recipient. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but anyway, she received both lungs replaced in her body, and how God, she says she's a small frame, so it had to fit her frame. It had to be able to fit in her small frame. And that is awesome. Miles, miles, miles. Don't tell me what my God can't do.
Exactly.
I know too much about him. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And Miles, is Miles in the room with you?
No, he's actually with his father today.
Oh, okay. Well, amen. We thank God for your testimony. Don't tell me what God is not doing today. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still raising up. We've had testimonies of someone being raised from the dead. Oof. Don't tell me what my God can't do. Don't tell me what my God can't do. Awesome.
Can do all things.
But fail. That's what we used to say back home. He can do all things, but fail.
That's exactly right.
God is awesome. Well, we have some callers on the line, Sister Tina, and they may have a question for you, or they just may have a testimony. I'm going to bring Miss Shante is still on. I'm going to bring her back on.
Okay.
Are you there, Sister Shante? Are you there, Sister Shante?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I have both of your lines open, and I'm going to now open. This is a call from California, and we thank God for the callers from California, because they have to get up early, 5 o'clock in the morning is what time my broadcast goes on there in California. And this number is a 209, and the last three numbers are 3721. Are you there, caller? You okay? I hear you coughing.
Yes, we're here.
Amen. Can I have your name?
I'm Sister Corinthian Jones.
Oh, Sister Corinthian Jones. Okay. Did you have a praise or did you want to say something to the guest today, Miss Shantae or Sister Shantae or Sister Tina?
Actually, my husband called in. I don't know why he didn't say that because he has a very powerful testimony. And he just wanted to hear words this morning. But I so greatly appreciate God for being here today. I thank God for waking me up this morning, being clothed in my right mind. I thank God for being a healer because he is a healer. I thank and appreciate
yes,
God for what God has done for Young Miles and what God will continually to do in his life. And truly, he is a mighty man of God. He has a great word for God, and I will continue to keep Miles in prayer. And I kind of got in on the the sister who just testified about her son. I didn't even get her name about little Miles, his mother. I didn't even get the other sister's testimony because I came in kind of late on it. But I do have a testimony also. I wanted to testify about giving this morning because you can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. Mm-hmm. It's better for God to owe you than you to owe him. And I thank God because I am a giver. I'm a tithe payer. And I thank God because in 2010, I had a house fire. In the house fire, I have a Victorian home. My house is almost three stories high. And I have five daughters. I have five daughters and I have one son. And me and my five daughters were here at home. My husband was on the road because my husband's a truck driver. And my basement was on fire. I had me and my girls, it was just the beginning of the winter of November of 2010. And we had turned on the heater. Three of my girls were downstairs sleeping. And I have a baby. My oldest is 25. And then I have a 20-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And then I have a 23-year-old son. But at this particular time, just me and my girls were home. And me and my oldest daughter, we had just came back from Denny's. I was just coming off of consecration. I had been fasting for probably about 48 hours. And I didn't even know why. Sometimes God put when God deals with you about fasting and praying, about just consecrating yourself before him, it's always a reason for why he does that. And it's good to be obedient because obedience is better than sacrifice. That's one thing I did learn is lessons in being obedient. So I had just come off this consecration, not even knowing that that's why I was fasting. I was fasting for the saving of our souls, for the saving of our lives. But my daughter had just turned on the heater. I come upstairs, and so four of my girls were downstairs sleeping, and then the baby was upstairs. It was around a little after midnight. I was trying to call my husband to see, where he was on the road and see what was going on with him. I couldn't get no answer because wherever he was, I guess his phone was out of service or whatnot. So I went ahead and laid down, and while I was laying down, the heater was on automatic, and it came on, and I could smell some smoke. And so I sit up very abruptly, and I'm looking around, and I don't see anything, but I can smell something burning. So I'm thinking maybe I'm just tripping. It's probably just here because it hadn't been on that all that time, because it was just the beginning of the winter. So I lay on back down. And then I smell it again. So I get up and say, let me go down here and see what's going on. So I go downstairs, and I don't even see nothing. You can't even smell it once you're downstairs. So I begin to go to the different rooms, my girls' rooms, and I begin to make them get up and come help me because I could smell something. They said, Mama, you tripping. Lay down. I said, no, y'all going to get up and help me find this here because I said something ain't right around here. So I go to the oldest room. I told my oldest daughter, I said, Krishan, did you cook something? And did you burn something? She sat up so abruptly. She said, no, Mama. She said, but I smell something. So she pulled back her curtain. She looked on the front porch. She said, Mama, the porch is on fire. I run to the front door, and I look out, but I got a big picture glass window on my front door. So I look out, so I pull the curtain back, and I look. I said, no. I said, the porch is not on fire. I said, but it's smoking. I had a big propane grill on my front porch, and I told the group, I said, y'all get out of here. This house is about to blow up. They said, well, Mama, you better come with us. I said, no, I got to go back upstairs and get the baby. I came back up the stairs. When I got up the stairs to get my baby, the room was full of black smoke. I got my baby, and by the time I got back down the stairs, I could see the flames coming through the bottom of the stairs. And my girl was saying, Mama, come on, the floor, it's hot, it's hot. My basement was on fire, and me and my girls should have fell through the floor because the whole basement was on fire.
Mm.
But God blessed us so that we were able to get out of the house. Nobody was hurt, and my house was completely damaged. The my whole foundation was burnt up. But let me tell you about God. Oh, my God, I can tell you about the goodness of Jesus today. Because the God
yes.
we serve is an awesome God. He is a mighty God, and he is a great God. He's awesome even in his own awesomeness. He's awesome. And I want to thank and appreciate
yes.
God, because that fire was just a temporary setback for a divine comeback. And I thank and appreciate
God,
because that fire blessed me above and beyond what I could even think or ask. That fire, God blessed me with to have that house fire for me to be able to pay off my house. I got to pay for it. I have a three-story home. I got to pay for a house, God. I don't own a dollar. I live in this house. God blessed me not only to pay off this house, but to fix this house back up, to start my own trucking business, to buy my girls' cars, take my kids to Hawaii. I mean, God blessed me above and beyond what I could even think or ask, and that's the kind
of God
we serve this day.
Yes. Yes.
That's the kind of God we serve. And that's why I can tell anybody that you can't beat God-given no matter how hard you try.
You can't. I'm excited.
So y'all sisters, be blessed today. I'm telling everybody today to be blessed, and don't stop paying your tithes, and don't stop giving.
Amen.
He's a protector. He's whatever. He said when they asked Jesus, he said, I am. When Moses asked God who he was, he said, I am. I am whatever you need me to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's a power.
Mr. Jones, I didn't get your first name. Give me your first name again.
Corinthians, just like the Bible, Corinthians.
Oh, okay. Corinthians, okay. Amen.
It's Corinthians without the S.
Without the S. Okay, Corinthians. Now, you said your husband is a trucker. I have a trucker that calls in. His name is Michael. Is that your husband?
No, my husband's name is Anthony.
Anthony. Well, you encourage Anthony to call in and give us his testimonies. That's what we're here for. How did you hear about our broadcast?
How did you hear about the broadcast?
This is
Sister Adrian?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is Sister Adrian.
Okay, yeah, Adrian is my godmother. I love her dearly. She is the best.
Okay, Sister Adrian. Amen. Well, she is on the line, too. So thank you for calling in and giving us, Sister Corinthian, that awesome testimony of God delivering you and your children from what could have been a disaster. He turned it into a blessing. What the devil meant for evil, ha, hallelujah, God turned it around for good.
Yes,
that's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we serve. Sister Tina's son was diagnosed as someone that would not prosper, and look what God has done. God will confound the wise, won't he? He confound
the
wise, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, Sister Shante, she had to have a double lung transplant. God blessed her with a lung that would fit her, and he's going to do more and more in her life. And I'm just in awe of everything that God is doing, and that's what we're here for. We're here to give God the praise. We're here to give God the glory, and tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell them to tune in to us on Saturday mornings, and already to tune in to Sister Adrian every day during the week, because God is doing some things in our lives, hallelujah, and we just want the world to know. We want to put him up high. We want all men to be drawn to him, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So we're going to thank you for calling in, Sister Corinthus, and I keep saying the S, but Corinthian, and we just bless God for you calling in. And I'm going to go to Sister Adrian Bernard. She is the host of New Destiny Ministries, where she is the pastor of New Destiny Ministries. Sister Adrian, are you there?
Yes, Minister Burns, I'm here.
Amen, amen, amen. We have had some awesome testimonies this day, have we not?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I tell you, God is amazing. And he keeps doing great things for his people. And just to hear the lady with the two arms and then the testimony of the mother with her son, I tell you, God is, he's awesome, he's amazing. There's no words in the human vocabulary that can accurately describe how good God really is. So I just enjoyed the testimony this morning and just want to encourage each and everyone that's out there in radio land and even those that tune in late. You can still go back on that and to the archives and listen to these testimonies in their entirety. Sometimes we get on late and we haven't even really heard the testimonies or the message, but that's what I love about this broadcast. You can always go back 24/7 and listen to these inspiring testimonies. Again, Minister Burns, our reference scripture for this broadcast is Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we just want to continue to encourage her and Elder Burns to continue this work that they have begun. And God is not through with you all yet. As long as you remain faithful and you commit your ways to the Lord, he certainly will give you the desires of his heart. There's no better feeling in the world than to serve God and to give him your all. And I tell you, when you commit your way to the Lord, there's nothing too difficult. There's nothing too hard for God. And I just thank God because when God does great things in our lives, that's a drawing tool. That's a tool that can take you and give you that fresh encounter, whereas I just can't even explain it. When God does something for you, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to share it, and that's what this gospel is about. It's about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So God bless you. Thank God for Sister Corinthian coming on. And Minister Burns, I wanted to tell you this. Her husband is the young man I've been telling you about with this awesome testimony. I don't think you ever had a chance to contact him. But this is the couple, the husband and wife, that I was telling you about the husband, you know, in the incident with the truck, the accident that he had with the truck. So that's who's on this line this morning. So maybe you'll come back on and you'll give him space to share that testimony. God bless you all.
Amen, amen. I was sharing with the listeners about the upcoming crusade that we're going to have here in the Carolinas.
Yes,
ma'am.
I said we're excited. We're getting geared up, and I'm meeting so many people in the Carolinas, and I certainly would like you to start announcing that, Minister Burns. But then I don't say save the dates. I say block and lock the dates, as you said. Block and lock those dates. September the 5th through the 7th, we're doing a citywide true fellowship crusade, and God has directed us to have that first crusade there in the Carolinas. We're looking at Raleigh. So continue to announce that on your segment each week, Minister Burns.
Oh yes, we're so excited. We're so excited, and we definitely are did announce it earlier this morning, and we just thank God for all that he is doing, for all that he has done for the saints, for his saints. God is just so good and so worthy of every praise and every honor. Don't tell me what God can't do. I say it over and over again, and I say it again. Don't tell me what my God cannot do. And we're going to ask my husband just how we just, I'm just in awe. You know, I just thank the Lord for what we've heard today, how God is a healer, hallelujah, how God is a restorer, hallelujah, how God is a protector, hallelujah. He is everything you need him to be. Hallelujah. So, honey, we're just going to ask you to pray the ending prayer over the program, and then we're going to go to our theme song, I Just Want to Praise You, by Sister Maurette Brown.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you, Lord, for every testimony that has gone forth, how you have just shown us through the word of their testimony just who you are. You are a healer. You are the protector of life. You are the provider of everything that we need. You are the one that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We thank you, Lord God, for every testimony, those who gave the testimonies. In the name of Jesus, bless in a mighty way, Lord God, as they have shown that they are not ashamed of your gospel, as they have shown that they are willing to give you the glory and the praise and be thankful for what you have done. Just continue to bountifully bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let their words continue to be healing for those who hear, encouragement for those who need encouragement. And Lord, just we just pray, hallelujah, that your will be done in their lives. Even that their children, Lord God, will be the vessels, the ministers, the apostles, the prophets that you have called them to be because of what you're doing in their lives and for them. In the name of Jesus, we just pray your continued blessing upon this broadcast, that even as those who will hear in the future hear these words, let the words come to them just as anointed as they are this morning, and it will let the work of your spirit be done in their lives, work of healing and grace and just prosperity and lifting them up and lifting up bowed down heads. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the furtherance of this broadcast, that it will continue to go worldwide, Lord God, that hearts of men and women will be turned to you, knowing that there is hope and that you are that hope. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, hallelujah, and we count it all as done, because your word said, if we would ask anything, believing that it's done, that we shall receive it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
And until next week, we just want to praise you.
I just want to praise you
forever, come on.
Forever
and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
We just want to let the listeners know that you can go back to the archives and listen to this program or listen to the previous programs of Even Sister Adrian. Go to blogtalkradio.com, New Destiny Ministries, Adrian Bernard, and you'll be able to listen to any of the broadcasts that have gone forth on this. I know we're not live now, but you go back, you can listen to them.